Hey, would you pray with me, please? God, thanks that we get to gather in here and spend time with you. And I pray that whatever might distract us today, that you just help clear that away so that we can hear from you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The first girl I ever kissed was a girl named Christy Cunningham, and it was in the summer of 1982. And in case you're keeping score, I see some of you looking up and to the right. That means you're doing math in your head. But in 1982 summer, that was right before Michael Jackson came out with the Thriller album. That summer was a church camp in Alberta. And this young lady named Christy Cunningham, she and I connected a little bit, and the dorms where we were staying, there was the boys were over here and the girls were over here, and there was this kind of middle section, this building in the middle that was like extra beds for whatever might be needed. And we would meet in between there, and I had somebody guarding the guy side, and she had somebody guarding the girl side, so we could meet in the middle, and we smooched, and it was kind of, you know, pushed in front. And it wasn't an alfalfa kiss. You know what an alfalfa kiss is? Alfalfa. It was just a smooch, and it was my first kiss, and I liked it, and I wanted more of that, I realized, but most people don't forget their first kiss. Either you don't forget your first kiss or you won't forget your first kiss. It's kind of a memorable thing. Again, I liked it and I wanted more of it. The problem was that when we got back from camp, this was in the summer, and then we all kind of went back to our own ways, she lived on the other side of the city. There are a number of people from different neighboring towns and such that went to this camp. She lived 30-minute drive away from where I was. And at that age, that was halfway around the world. You understand what I'm saying? At that time, 30 minutes away, I wasn't going to be able to drive. There's no way I was going to ride my bike over there. I never saw her again. Haven't checked up on Christy Cunningham on Facebook, but I don't know. I never saw her again other than for that one week, that one summer, 1982. When you're a kid, the world is small. And the older you get, the bigger the world gets. Little tiny ones, their whole world is a crib. Then when they get a little bit bigger, their world becomes a living room. Then when we get bigger, the world becomes a neighborhood or a community or a church or a school or a city. And the world gets larger and larger. And as you continue to mature and move through high school into college and your journeys that lay before you, the world will get bigger, and you'll become more and more aware that God's story is a global story. God's overall story is a big story. It's not just what we do with our lives in our day-to-day experiences. This is so clear throughout Scripture. I want to invite you to turn to the very first book in the Bible, which is called what? Genesis chapter 12. I want to take a look at some key verses that have to do with this guy named Abraham. God chose to reconnect with people, with humanity, through a nation called Israel. And that nation was started by a man named Abraham. He's the father of the nation of Israel. So in Genesis chapter 12, we see kind of the launching of this, the very first verse there. The Lord had said to Abram, whose name was later changed to Abraham, "Leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation." This nation became the nation of Israel. "And I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you." All peoples on earth. From the very beginning, God's plan was to penetrate the entire earth. That God's plan from the very beginning was a global story. You're familiar with the David and Goliath story. Little tiny boy David slaughters Goliath, and he stands over him and he says, "This has happened so that the whole world would know that the Lord is God." Later on in the Old Testament, there is a prophet named Isaiah. And Isaiah is talking about a coming servant. He's talking about Jesus, but he's saying that one day there will be this Messiah who will restore Israel, who will bring leadership. He will be the king of all kings. And Isaiah refers to this upcoming Messiah as a servant. And he talks about this servant. You don't need to turn there. I want to read it for you. In verse, in chapter 49, Isaiah talks about this servant. He says, "It is too small a thing for you to be my servant, to restore the tribes of Jacob and bring back those of Israel I have kept. I will make you a light for the Gentiles, that you may bring my salvation to the ends of the earth." Isaiah is saying here, this servant is going to come and not just restore Israel. This servant is going to come and restore the Gentiles, which means those who are not Jewish, to the ends of the earth, the whole world, the whole world. It's a global story. This servant comes in the form of a man named Jesus Christ, named Jesus, who is the Christ. Jesus comes, and at the end of his time here on earth, it's recorded in Matthew 28, that he says, "Go and make disciples of all nations." Again, it's a global story. The book of Acts happens later in the New Testament, and it's basically what happened to those who followed Jesus after Jesus ascended into heaven. What happened? What's the story? And in the very beginning of the book of Acts, it says, "You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." You will be my witnesses. You will tell people about Jesus to the very ends of the earth. God's story is a global story. When we're little, the world is small. The older we get, the bigger God's story gets, the bigger the world gets. Now, what's so interesting about all that is that the Christian story has not been a world story for very long. Okay, let me kind of paint a picture for this. I need 1, 2, 3. I need 7 volunteers. Okay, this is an easy volunteer job, but I'll only pick you if you volunteer. So 1, 2, 3. Thank you. 4, 5, 6, 7. Come on up front here, please. You just have to stand there. But you have to do something pretty incredible. Do we have 6? I must have missed 1. 7. Awesome. Thank you. Each person here represents 1 billion people. Okay? This is the population of the earth. Have you ever represented 1 billion people before? I mean, that's a lot of weight. That's a lot of weight on your shoulder. 7 billion people are in this world. How many of these would you guess in the world, how many would call themselves a Christian, a follower of Christ? Anybody? How many? You're already volunteer. You're already in. You're the hands-up people, aren't you? So why don't we give some other folks a chance? Anybody else have a guess of how many of the 7 billion people in the world would call themselves a Christian? Yes. 2 billion. Ding, 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 ding. Nice, nice. That's kind of the answer. I mean, that's what most people would say is of the world. Nice job. So 2 billion, can I ask you to just kind of slide over just a little bit here? 2 billion of the world's 7 billion people would call themselves a follower of Christ or a Christian. 1.5 billion would call themselves, so that would be like just the top half. So lean over. There we go. Just 1.5 billion would call themselves Muslim. And then for the rest of the people in the world would be other religions, etc. Okay, as you look at the 7 billion and the 2 billion who call themselves Christian, does this seem like a high number or a low number? Seems like a low number? You think about traveling around the world and going to millions of people in these cities all around the world, and 2 of every 7 would call themselves a Christian. 2 billion people. That's a lot of people. I mean, in one sense, it's low because it's a low percentage. In another sense, it's a whole lot of people, 2 billion people. Give these guys a hand for being 1 billion people. Nice job. Nice job. What's fascinating to me is that Christianity was not a world religion until recently. That in around the year 1800, the Christians were basically the white people in Europe and in the colonies that Europe was expanding to. That was the extent to which Christianity had expanded to in about 1800. And the rest of the world was basically not Christian, with very few exceptions. That was 200 years ago. Is 200 years a long time ago? In a sense, it is, and in a sense, it's not. It's a long time in terms of American history, but in terms of the world history, 200 years ago is not that long ago. For thousands of years, God has said, this is a global story. This we want to reach to the ends of the earth for thousands of years, and it has only been since the 1800s that Christianity has taken that seriously. What happened in the 19th century in the 1800s is people started going to India and Africa and China and saying, I want to bring the message of Jesus to these people who have never heard, who have never heard about who Jesus is. And then something happened at the end of the 1800s that totally changed this story, that turned Christianity into a global experience, into a global religion, which was God's intent from the very beginning. Bless you to a lot of folks in here. There's a lot of sneezing going on here. It was at the end of the 19th century, in 1886, there was a group of people who said, we need to send more people to more places around the world. 1886, and what they did is they realized that old people like me are not going to be the ones who go. People who have an established job or family or mortgage or whatever, they're not going to be the ones to pack up and go around the world. Who did they guess would be the ones who would go around the world? Students, you, that's right. Folks a little bit older than you, they targeted college students who had a little bit more freedom in terms of when and where they could go. And what they did is they gathered 251 college students from around the country, gathered them in Massachusetts in a place called Mount Hermon, 251 of them. And after teaching and talking about dreaming wildly with God, this one night they talked about missions, talked about God's story being a global story. And of the 251, 21 of them said, Lord willing, I will go anywhere in the world as a foreign missionary. Could you imagine being just a little bit older than you, and as a result of what God was stirring up in a group of people saying, I will go anywhere in the world. 21 people said that. And in the weeks to come, as this conference continued to roll, that turned into 100 people. 100 of the 251 said, I will go anywhere in the world to tell people about Jesus. What happened is some of these 100 then, in the year after that, they traveled to other colleges around the country and talked with other students about the need for people to go to these other places. And after a year, 2,200 students across the country said, I will go, Lord willing, to be a foreign missionary anywhere around the world. Anywhere. This was amazing. This became known as the Student Volunteer Movement. The Student Volunteer Movement. And prior to 1886, there were less than 1,000 missionaries, Protestant missionaries out of the United States. Less than 1,000. In 3 years, all time, less than 1,000. In 3 years after the Student Volunteer Movement, there were over 4,000 Protestant missionaries leaving for foreign lands out of the United States. This was a major movement. It wasn't just one person here, one person here, one person there. Thousands of students mobilized and inspired by the reality that God's story is a global story. The world had never seen this kind of mobilization in terms of missions. The world had never seen this kind of radical commitment to God's global story. Now, here's the reason I've told you that story or invited you into that. The reason is not that those are real Christians and the rest of us are not. The reason, you know, we talk about global missions is not that those are the people who really love Jesus and the rest of us are mediocre followers of Christ. That's not it at all. The point is to plant a seed and to talk about the fact that as we get older, it is important, as we mature in our relationship with Christ, it's important for us to understand that God's story is a global story, and it was from the very beginning. It's not just about what's happening in my life. God has a plan for the whole world. And Scripture seems very clear that Jesus is not coming back until peoples from all nations have heard about Christ. It is estimated that there are about 600 groups of people in the world who have still never heard about Jesus. Never. In the thousands of years that God's story has been going on, there are still over 600 groups of people in the world that have never heard about Christ. So it is a seed about, wow, there is a global story. What role might I have in it? Might I have in it? Might you have in it? Might our families have in it? See if you can finish this phrase. It's something that is pretty popular from the Bible in the Old Testament. Be still and know. Anybody? That I am God. Be still and know that I am God. It is a verse in the Psalms in the Old Testament. And it is a pretty popular verse. And you can find it on a number of different posters and beautiful settings with beautiful ornate frames. Be still and know that I am God. And in a number of different circumstances, you can be reminded of this beautiful phrase, be still and know that I am God. Experience peace and patience and all that God has to offer. Be still and know that I am God. That's found in Psalm 46, verse 10a. And sometimes it's listed as Psalm 46, 10a. Do you know what the A means? Anybody? Yes? You don't? Anybody know if a verse in the Bible is listed with an A after it? That means it's part of the verse. Okay? So if it says Psalm 46, 10a, then that means the first half of the verse, which means there's a second half of the verse. And one might wonder, why isn't that on the posters? Why isn't that on the t-shirts that we see? What happened to B? Did God have a bad day and he didn't write something good there? Why do we not include that part in there? The rest of the verse is, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted in all the nations. I will be exalted in all the earth. Again, God's story is a global story. Even that verse, which many are familiar with, is not about me. It's not about, I'm going to be still and know that I am God because then I'll experience more blessing and joy and happiness. That it's, and that's a beautiful thing to want to pray, God, help me, heal me, rescue me, help me, help me, help me. But God's global story can lead us to say, God, use me. Send me. In what way do you want me to be a part of your global story? One definition of a missionary is someone who is willing to allow God to interrupt your life. A missionary is not just somebody who packs up and goes to Africa. We can be a missionary in a number of different ways. It's allowing God to interrupt our life. We're heading down this path and God says, boink, I want you to be a part of my story, part of my unwritten story. Will you respond to it? Will you respond to that challenge? So Beth just talked about an opportunity next summer. And maybe the IYC 2-week summer, 1 week serving and helping others, another week being inspired with worship and teaching, etc. Maybe that's kind of outside of your plan. But that's an example, perhaps, of between now and then doing the work with a coffee cart or whatever to raise some money so that you can be a part of something bigger than yourself. You can go to another city and get a taste of God's global story. And there'll be other opportunities through this ministry where you can go to other places and see things beyond Ahwatukee and be invited into God's global story. And maybe there's one or some here in this room for whom today or this year or this unwritten idea is going to plant a seed in you that you will be one of those, like the 100 at Mount Hermon, who respond and say, I'm willing to be interrupted in a radical way in X number of years, whatever, with whatever gifts God's given me, I will go anywhere in the world in service to him. Maybe that'll be some of you here in this room. And it would be an incredibly exciting thing for us to team up with whatever God's doing here amongst you. You're the future shapers, the world changers. It's a global story, and God's inviting each one of us to be a part of it.